Good morning. This is Dallas Townsend with a CBS World News Roundup. More talks have been scheduled today in Washington on the nationwide coal strike, now 79 days old. But Labor Department officials indicate that management and labor remain far apart in efforts to agree on a new contract. The latest proposal for breaking the deadlock came late last night from the management side, and we'll hear about it from Barry Serafin.
In a surprise move just before midnight, the coal industry proposed that the contract dispute be settled through binding arbitration rather than through negotiations. Under the proposal, miners would go back to work on Monday. The coal operators and the United Mine Workers would each choose a member of the arbitration panel and jointly select a chairman. The panel would begin its deliberations no later than March 6th. Labor Secretary Ray Marshall yesterday had just begun a renewed round of shuttle-style negotiations, meeting separately with the two sides. The administration was pushing for a negotiated settlement along the lines of a tentative agreement reached earlier this week by the union and an independent coal company. The coal operators agreed to resume bargaining, but indicated they would resist some of the terms of that agreement. The new proposal by the mine operators, for now at least, has brought the negotiations to another halt. United Mine Workers President Arnold Miller left the Labor Department late last night, thinking bargaining would continue today. Miller has told CBS News that he expects the industry's arbitration proposal to be rejected by the union. At this point, no one on any side, union, management, or the administration, has a clear idea of what would happen after that. Barry Serafin, CBS News, Washington.
White House News Secretary Jody Powell says this is the week in which a major decision will have to be made, but he doesn't say exactly when the president will make it or what the decision might be. Governor Otis Bowen of Indiana, one of the states where the effects of the strike have been most severe, has sent Mr. Carter a telegram demanding immediate federal intervention to end the walkout. Bowen's message added, quote, "I was astounded to learn of the attitude of the congressional leadership, which, according to news accounts, is one of hesitancy to do anything until disaster is actually upon us." The governors of West Virginia, Ohio, Kentucky, and Pennsylvania disagree with Governor Bowen. They say instead that the coal industry and the United Mine Workers Union must get down to brass tacks and settle their differences. The Senate goes into executive session again today in its debate on the Panama Canal treaties. Neil Strasser reports.
The locked-door session lasted nearly 10 hours yesterday and is scheduled for another 4 hours today. And when the doors are opened and the Senate resumes public debate on the treaties, there could be a quick test of whether the secret airing of charges about Panamanian drug smuggling has had any impact. The Senate may vote before the day is out on a motion by Democrat James Allen to reverse the order of consideration of the two treaties. Treaty opponents generally will side with Allen. Treaty supporters with the present plan, which would first consider amendments for the protection of U.S. canal rights. Behind the closed doors yesterday, senators heard that Panama's General Torrijos probably knew of smuggling by other government officials and didn't do enough to stop his brother's activities. His brother is accused, in a now unsealed indictment, of helping smuggle 155 pounds of heroin into the U.S. Treaty backers insisted no votes were changed yesterday. Treaty opponent Jesse Helms appeared to agree. "That's the depressing thing," said Helms. "There weren't enough senators on the floor." Neil Strasser, CBS News, the U.S. Senate.
The target of that indictment, Moises Torrijos, now the Panamanian ambassador to Spain, has talked with a Madrid newspaper and again denies the charges made against him. He calls them slander, aimed at preventing Senate ratification of the canal treaties. The target of another indictment, South Korean businessman Tongsun Park, leaves Seoul later this week for Washington, where he'll appear before congressional committees investigating the South Korean influence buying scandal. Bruce Dunning has details of his plans.
The indicted Korean businessman says the FBI has told him it has reports of threats on his life when he returns to the United States. For this reason, Park will be under FBI guard for the entire time of his stay. Park will meet his FBI protectors in Hawaii on Thursday morning when he arrives there from South Korea. He will spend 2 days in Hawaii before going on to Washington. According to sources close to Park, the FBI wants him to stay in military compounds in the United States, but Park hopes to stay in his own Washington home. No details of the threats against him were available here. The agreement between Park and the U.S. government provides for protection during his stay. Park has been issued a 3-month passport by the Korean government. He expects to stay in the U.S. about 1 month to testify before Congress and in trials of American officials accused of accepting bribes. Today, Park said goodbye to the pupils of the girls' school that he owns. He told them he would return when the weather is warmer, and he admonished them to be diligent and obedient students. Bruce Denning, CBS News, Seoul.
The House Ethics Committee is expected to take secret testimony from Park next week. The panel's chairman, John Flint of Georgia, says he has decided not to run for re-election this year. He wants to forget about campaigning, he says, and try to finish up the committee's investigation of the South Korean scandal. A state funeral was held this morning in Cairo for the 15 Army commandos killed at Larnaca Airport in Cyprus in their unsuccessful effort to capture two terrorists who had assassinated a Cairo newspaper editor. The ceremony was accompanied by frenzied displays of emotion among the crowd. There were shouts of death to all Palestinians and down with Cyprus. And eventually things got out of hand. Mike Lee takes it from there.
President Anwar Sadat has been taken from the funeral procession and put in his limousine because security has simply broken down here. The crowds have stormed the funeral procession. They cannot be held back. The president now proceeding in his limousine toward the monument where the funeral service will be held. The president is leaving the scene. The crowd has run wild now, broken through all security lines at the monument where this funeral is being held, trying to catch up with President Anwar Sadat, who literally fled the crowd to get into his car, the safety of his car. The car pulling up by the monument now. An absolute sea of people rushing forward. People tripping and stumbling over the monuments here that were to have been a part of the ceremony. All security, all order is broken down at this funeral. Mike Lee, CBS News, Cairo.
President Sadat now says Egypt has withdrawn its recognition of the Cypriot government, thus in effect formally breaking relations between them. The Organization of African Unity is now in the third day of its conference in Libya. Jerry Bowen reports from Tripoli that the OAU foreign ministers are discussing, among other matters, financial aid for guerrillas in Africa.
Money, more than politics, is the focus so far at this conference, but not just money to finance the Organization of African Unity, but rather money to underwrite the various so-called liberation forces on the continent. The guerrilla-backed Patriotic Front is here seeking money for arms, a spokesman saying the group expects to receive $5 to $10 million for its war effort in Rhodesia. At the same time, there are rumors, still unconfirmed, that Rhodesian black nationalist Sithole is in Tripoli to persuade the OAU to support the internal settlement being negotiated with Ian Smith's white regime. But Sithole has not been seen, and his efforts here could fly in the face of a resolution likely to win approval by the OAU, a resolution calling for continued warfare in Rhodesia. Jerry Bowen, CBS News, Tripoli, Libya.
A black Rhodesian newspaper today accused Prime Minister Smith of trying to hold on to power by demanding further concessions from the black nationalist leaders in the talks on transfer to majority rule. Black and white negotiators held separate meetings today in Salisbury before going back into joint session. A federal court jury in Atlanta resumes deliberations this morning in the $6 million malpractice lawsuit against Congressman Larry McDonald. We'll hear about him from Martha Teichner.
McDonald was a practicing urologist until he went to Congress. One of his patients was an Alabama postal worker named John Scott, who died of lung cancer after McDonald gave him Laetrile as cancer treatment. Scott's family filed the suit. There is speculation that the longer the jury stays out, the worse McDonald's prospects. Last night, before they retired for the night, jurors asked federal Judge Richard Freeman for a written memorandum defining malpractice under Georgia law. The three-week trial has been controversial. One of the Scott family attorneys has been found in contempt of court twice after repeated warnings about his conduct. The judge insists that Laetrile is not on trial here. Larry McDonald is. McDonald and the Atlanta hospital where he treated Laetrile patients. This case could have landmark impact on any use of the substance Laetrile in the future. Martha Teichner, CBS News, Atlanta.
Assistant Secretary of State Atherton plans to meet with Egyptian officials in Cairo today after talks earlier in the week with Israeli officials in Jerusalem.
This is The World Tonight. Good evening, I'm Douglas Edwards, CBS News. A spokesman for the coal miners said today that industry negotiators are a bunch of pig-headed people. But pig-headed or not, face-to-face negotiations are starting tonight under prompting from the White House. Susan Spencer reports.
Tonight's talks follow an announcement from the White House which will certainly affect the atmosphere and could affect the outcome. An announcement that the Union Bargaining Council tonight voted 25-13 to accept any contract offer which matches a settlement the union reached earlier this week with an independent coal company. At the urging of Labor Secretary Ray Marshall, the union has in effect pre-ratified an agreement and put the pressure now on the coal operators to go along with what the union sees as a major concession. Secretary Marshall briefed President Carter tonight. Presidential Press Secretary Jody Powell says the governors of Ohio, Kentucky, Pennsylvania, and West Virginia have been kept abreast, as well as congressional leaders. At this hour, the Labor Secretary is meeting with members of the Coal Operators Association, hoping it can be assumed that they may be persuaded to go along with the union's offer and so end this 80-day-old national coal strike. Susan Spencer, CBS News, Washington.
The Senate got back to the Panama Canal treaties today after winding up an inconclusive secret session on allegations that President Torrijos and his family were involved in the drug traffic in Panama. Neil Strausser reports.
After a day and a half of listening behind closed doors to the Senate Intelligence Committee evidence on drug smuggling, senators still disagreed on the credibility of the Torrijos government. But Committee Chairman Bayh, a treaty supporter, and Committee Vice Chairman Goldwater, an opponent, did agree in unison when asked if any votes were changed.
1, 2, 3, no.
Then the Senate turned to its first test vote on a motion by Democrat James Allen to reverse the order of consideration of the treaties.
We first ought to decide whether or not we're going to give the canal away before we decide how we're going to defend it, starting with the year 2000.
But Democratic Leader Byrd argued the Senate should first know what protections the U.S. will have once the canal is turned over.
I want to know where we stand on January 1 in the year 2000.
And the leadership won, 67-30, a hint at least that the treaties may themselves get the necessary two-thirds majority. Neil Strausser, CBS News, the U.S. Senate.
More news after this.
When you have power-hungry devices, you need powerful batteries. So True Value Hardware Store suggests ever-ready alkaline power cells, the batteries that are designed to last longer and work harder in devices that really strain a battery. Hi, Pat Summerall to tell you that EverReady Alkaline Power Cell batteries provide extra power for radios, shavers, or any device you use often or for long periods of time. And they hold their power for months when not in use. So they're perfect for calculators, cameras, and cassette tape recorders. And now you can get a two-pack of D-size EverReady Alkaline Power Cell batteries for just $1.37 from True Value Hardware Stores. Or get a four-pack of AA-sized power cells for just $2.17. Replace all your old batteries in your power-hungry devices now with EverReady Alkaline Power Cell batteries from participating True Value Hardware Stores and Home Centers. True Value, more than just a name, it's their way of doing business. And tell them Pat Summerall sent you.
This has been a tremendously emotional day in Cairo. President Sadat gave a hero's funeral to the 15 Egyptian commandos who were killed by Cypriot gunfire Sunday night, and thousands of people followed the coffins through the streets. Sadat took personal responsibility for ordering the commandos to attack the hijacked plane at the Larnaca airport, and then he completed the break with Cyprus. Mike Lee reports from Cairo.
The formal break in relations between Egypt and Cyprus came tonight, when Cypriot ambassador to Egypt, Antis Soteriades, was called to the Egyptian foreign ministry in Cairo and told to close the Cypriot embassy, the consulate, and all cultural and trade missions. The Cypriot representative, who was dean of the diplomatic corps, having served here for 12 years, was told to leave the country as soon as possible. A high-ranking Egyptian diplomat later told CBS News that the break is now complete and total. This dramatic development came after an emotional day in Cairo, which saw a funeral procession for the 15 soldiers killed by Cypriot bullets in the Larnaca rescue mission. Thousands of people lined the streets as President Anwar Sadat led a delegation of high-ranking officials behind the caskets. At one point, the overzealous crowd, which had been shouting anti-Palestinian and anti-Cypriot slogans, broke through police lines, and the president had to be hurried to safety in his armored limousine. Later on, Sadat told the surviving soldiers that President Kyprianou had committed a cowardly crime by opening fire on what Sadat referred to as his son. Mike Lee, CBS News, Cairo.
More news when the World Tonight continues.
Here we are in the middle of the cold and flu season. Reports about flu are coming in from all over the country. It helps to know this. When it comes to flu, doctors recommend aspirin more than 2-to-1 over any other fever and pain reliever. That's right. Doctors recommend aspirin more than 2 to 1. That's good to know when you're suffering from the aches, pain, and fever that come with a cold or flu.
Bayer aspirin. It has relieved more aches, pain, and fever than any medication in history. Use only as directed.
You've seen and heard only a fraction of it in the newspapers and on the radio and television. Now begin H.R. Haldeman's incredible personal account, The Ends of Power, in a 30,000-word excerpt that starts in this week's Newsweek. The whole unbelievable Watergate break-in and cover-up, told by the man who was Nixon's deputy in the Oval Office. The Newsweek excerpts contain Watergate intrigue that you never dreamed would be revealed anywhere. Don't miss this week's Newsweek on your newsstand now. In fact, don't miss Newsweek any week.
When the trial of Congressman Dr. Larry McDonald began, some people thought the verdict would help clear up the controversy over the use of Laetril to treat cancer patients. Not so. Martha Teichner reports from Atlanta.
A little bit negligent, but not guilty of malpractice, is the way one juror put it. After the $6 million lawsuit against Congressman Larry McDonald ended with the former urologist a partial winner, the jury awarded $15,000 to the wife of John Scott, an Alabama postal worker who died of cancer in 1974, after McDonald gave him Laetril. The money was for Scott's medical expenses, but in three key areas, the jury found in favor of McDonald. By its verdict, the jury said that Congressman McDonald did something wrong, but refused to say what. The implications for the future use of Laetril are no clearer now than before the trial. According to McDonald's attorney, Hunter Allen,
I think the Laetril issue is obviously such an emotional issue that what this jury did or did not do in this case is not going to influence one iota any patient that is convinced that Laetril is the way to go.
Congressman McDonald had no comment on the verdict. An appeal is planned. Martha Teichner, CBS News, Atlanta.
Wall Street in a moment.
Sam Swade, private eye.
Hello, Sam. It's Simpson. Well, does he have what I think he has?
Afraid so, Simp. It's a shop.
Oh, no.
The new shop, 2531 electronic cash register.
Tell me everything.
Well, it seems your competitor, Ralph of Ralph's Produce, just bought himself the most efficient electronic register for his business. And, unfortunately, for yours, too.
No.
Quite a piece of machinery, the shop. Figures out how much change to give.
My old machine can't. Now he'll make fewer mistakes.
That little beauty even separates taxable from non-taxable items right on the tape. His checkout line flows as smooth as silk chiffon on a breezy night.
It's very poetic. But he won't have to fumble with tax charts.
Oh, one more thing.
No more.
Remember your missing wife, the cute little one with the blonde hair, the pigtails?
Yes.
We found her.
Oh, dear, where?
Working the new shop register at Ralph's.
The Sharp 2531 electronic cash register. Check the yellow pages for your Sharp dealer and put your money in a Sharp.
Not much movement in prices on Wall Street. The Dow Jones Industrial Average closed around 749, down 0.26. No change in the average price on the New York Exchange, volume over 18 million shares there. Average price up 1 cent on the American. Wall Street on this world tonight.